Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening again asking for something from you. You are the one that provides, we are the ones that need. So this evening we ask that you would grant us that we would not only pay attention and listen carefully to your words in confirmation class, but that you would also fill us with the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you want us to have and possess through the hearing of these words. To this end we pray, bless our study in Bible class, in Sunday school, confirmation class, and all the ways that we hear your word. Grant this blessing that we may bring forth the fruits of faith in our lives and have our faith strengthened in Jesus as our Savior. We ask this in the name of that same Savior Jesus. Amen. Page 100, question 126 is where we begin. What part of the catechism are we studying right now? Susanna?
First,
and what is the subtitle of the first article, Emily? About?
For thanks.
Pardon? You see it on page 89 there? About?
Creation.
Yeah. Just for review, we haven't gotten to them yet this year, but first article is about creation, the second is about... Anybody remember from last year?
Redemption.
The third article about?
Sanctification.
Very good. You knew that.
No.
Question 126. How does our Father protect us? What we've been going through in this first article is the fact that our God, according to the explanation of it, preserves us, he provides for us, he preserves us, he protects us. And we're on that third one now, protection. So how does our God protect us? Passage 517. Alex, will you start?
Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
So the first way God protects us is by using his angels to do that, which is really pretty neat, if you think about it. We don't know all the different ways that the angels protect us. We don't know when God woke somebody up so that he didn't fall asleep and drive through a red light or go across the center line and smack us with his 18-wheeler. We don't know all the time the angels protected us from somebody that was going to attack us or rob us or whatever. So the angels protect us. Second way, read... Well, they're all narratives here in the next section. God delivered infant Moses from death. God protected the people of Israel from the Egyptians by dividing the Red Sea. And then Acts 12, an angel delivered Peter from prison. Now, what we're going to get at with these next two, with B and C, is that God protects us by keeping evil away from us. And we don't know all the times he does that. Again, he uses his angels to do it in part, but he also, I'm sure, does it himself. Keeps things from happening to us that might otherwise happen to us. Do you know any time that that's happened? No, you don't. That's the nature of God and his protection, that we can't usually point to something and say, this is a miracle. Usually, we say, oh boy, that was coincidence. Boy, if I'd have left 5 seconds earlier, I'd have gotten in that accident. Well, God works things for us. Usually you can always explain it away, but we know that God's looking out for us. There's another way that he keeps evil, he protects us, and not that he keeps evil away from us, but Alex, 521.
Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Drew, 522 and 523.
Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Acts 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God.
Okay, did you get an idea then? Not only does God protect us by keeping evil away from us, but how else does he protect us? Does anything bad ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Sometimes things that we see or we would call evil happen to you. You might fall down and wrench your back or knock your knee or break your leg or knock a tooth out or whatever. God allowed that, but what does He also do with that?
Just
learn
from it.
Yeah, He helps you to learn from it, and He carries you through it so that you grow in your faith or become stronger or some good thing. That's what we heard in that first Romans 8:28 passage. We know that all things are going to work for our good to those who love God. We don't always understand exactly how that works. If we get a flat tire, is that going to work out for our good? Well, God said He'll make it work out. We don't know exactly how, but instead of keeping me from getting sick, I may get sick, but then God will protect me through that. Or He may decide that sickness will end my life and call me home. So He not only keeps evil away from us, He makes evil work out for our good. Let me just, for review again, Andrew, the explanation of the first article. It's on page 89 if you want to follow along. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean?
I believe that God has created me and all creatures. He's given me my eyes and ears, body and life, all my bodily members, my mind, and all my senses until He keeps them for me. God also preserved me by richly and daily providing me clothing and shoes, food and drinks, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all my property. Now I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards and defends me from every evil.
Susanna?
God does all this because He is my good and gracious Father in heaven and not because of anything I have done to earn or deserve it. For all of this is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey. This is most certainly true.
Okay, you notice that when we go through and study this article or any of the articles, the pattern that we follow is that explanation. So we went through all the things that God does for us, provides for us, preserves us, protects us, for all of which is my duty to, what did that say?
Thank you.
Okay, so question 127, why does our Heavenly Father provide for our bodily needs, preserve and protect us? Andrew 4:24, 5 and 6.
Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. With the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Psalm 103, verse 13. As the Father pities His children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
Okay, if you don't already have something written in, I want you to write in some words that have to be answered. God gives us what we need for our life because He is good and gracious, and so that we serve Him. And so that we serve Him.
Where? Oh, gotcha.
Because He is good and gracious, and so that we serve Him. We want to add that He does it purely out of His graciousness. In other words, we don't earn or deserve it. But that explanation goes on, for all of which is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey Him. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to serve and thank Him. How are we supposed to show our appreciation?
By confessing what we've done and home, church, and praying and stuff.
Okay.
5, 27, 28, 29, 30.
I'll read them all, Susanna.
Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Okay, are you getting this? Now, the question that we're answering here is, how does God want us to show Him our appreciation? And we give thanks, we fear and serve Him, thank Him for all the things that He's done. Whatever we do to the glory of God. And then the last one.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Got it? Our Heavenly Father wants us to show appreciation by thanking, praising, serving, and obeying Him. You can't show appreciation to somebody or something in a way that they don't want. Say your sister does something nice for you. So you think, man, you know, I want to say thank you to her. So I think I will, shoot her in the eye with my airsoft gun. Not really a way to say thank you, is it? Even if you think it might be fun. Okay, that's a little unrealistic. So you say, well, I want to thank my sister, so I think I'll buy myself a pack of gum. No, doesn't work either, does it? Okay, I think I'm going to thank my sister by buying her a bag of licorice. Only she doesn't like licorice. You get the point? We can't say thank you to God in ways that don't please God. So how do we find out what pleases God? Okay.
By what the Bible says.
Good. And this tells us, these passages tell us some of the things that God wants us to do. 129, when we were created, how were you created? How was mankind created, Emily, when we were first made?
By the image of God.
Yeah, exactly right. And what is that image of God? Anybody know what that means, that we have the image of God? Does it mean we look like Him?
Like, you just have the same spirit kind of.
Okay, and what kind of spirit was that?
Holy.
Holy, perfect. Okay, that's the image of God. We were perfect. It's not that we look like God. God didn't make Adam and say, okay, I'm going to make him look just like me. It was the spirit, the perfection, that's the kind of image that we were created with. Do we still have that image? Ooh, be careful.
No, because... Well, yeah, I do.
Okay. Did we lose it for a time? Are we born with that image? No. Okay. Let's see. Read 533. Who's up?
I think he skipped Emily.
Emily, 533.
Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men.
Okay, Adam and Eve lost the image of God when they sinned. Since the image was perfection, as soon as they sinned, they weren't perfect anymore. They lost that image. How did this happen? Do you remember how it happened? How they lose the image? How they sin?
They
ate
the fruit
that
God told them not to.
Okay.
535, 536,
Emily?
1 John 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Revelation 12, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Not a pretty picture. Why would the devil tempt man? First of all, who created evil? Didn't God create all things? Just answer that much. Did God create all things that are?
Yeah.
So why did He create evil?
He didn't.
He didn't? Well, so what is evil?
The absence of righteousness.
The absence of righteousness or goodness, right?
Do we know why He gave us the opportunity?
Yes. No. Yes. We have an idea. The idea is He wanted beings, His creation, to serve Him willingly, not because they couldn't do anything else. There's no pleasure for God if He forces us to do what He wants us to do, and we don't have any other choice.
If you can do anything, couldn't you make it so He did get pleasure out of us? I guess that's kind of weird question.
Yeah, it is. And the point is, you look at it and you say, He didn't do it that way, and He's much wiser than I am, so there was a reason. We may not know what it is, but... So, explain evil again. You say it's the absence of goodness or holiness, righteousness. Where did it come from then? Does it exist all by itself? Is it like some black, gray vapor that floats around, and if you breathe it in, you do nasty stuff? No, that's not it. So what do you make of this thing called evil? Was there evil in the world when God made it? Why not?
God made it perfect.
Okay. So there couldn't be anything unholy. But how did evil come about? What is evil? Define it. Again, in a little different way.
Absence of being not evil.
Okay, absence of...
Was.
Absence of righteousness, but... Anything contrary to
God's will
or word. So anything that's contrary to God's will is sin, is evil. Did God have a will when He made Adam and Eve? So was the potential for evil there? Yes. When He told them, you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you'll die. The potential for evil was there, wasn't it? Now, there wasn't evil because Adam and Eve had that same will of God, that new man only in them. They didn't have any sin. But as soon as they decided they wanted to eat from that tree when God said don't, then evil was done. Evil was perpetrated. Bad things were done because they acted contrary to God's will. Okay, the question is, could Adam and Eve have sinned just by thinking about the bad thing? And the answer is yes, that would have brought evil in the world too. In fact, there's a debate about what the first sin was. What do you think the first sin was?
Just when you first thought about taking it from the snake.
Okay. So it wasn't necessary. Most people think when she took the fruit off the tree and took a bite out of it, surely that was a sin, but there was a sin before that because in her heart she desired what God said don't. So she was at least coveting it already in her heart. She was sinfully desiring something. So the sin happened before she actually ate of the fruit or ate of the tree. There may have been another one. We don't know. When Satan asked her, so you can't eat of any trees in the garden? She said, no, we may eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, you shall not eat from it, nor shall you
touch
it. Do we read that God ever said, you shall not touch it? So was she adding to God's word? Maybe. What might have happened?
The Bible didn't
record. Yeah, it might have been that God told her, but it just wasn't recorded. So we just leave that one alone. She may have sinned if she added, she certainly did sin. But if God told her at a different time, obviously it's not sinful. Let's see. What's the last one you read? Okay. 131. You said that the devil was the one that tempted Adam and Eve to sin. Why, when he sinned, why did he go after Adam and Eve? Satan was a holy angel when he was created. That's the next question that we're going to answer. And he wasn't content to serve God. He wanted to be God. But that was a sin, and he was cast out of heaven, so why did he try to tempt and successfully tempt Adam and Eve into sin? Anybody know? Got any idea?
Because he wanted to go against God, no matter how good.
Very good. He hated God. He hated everything that God loved. He hated God so much. So here's his precious creation, man, and as an extension or something that God loved, Satan hated it and he wanted to destroy it. It's like a nasty kid who doesn't get his way, so he goes around and smashes something. His sister won't let him play with a dollhouse, so he's going to burn the dollhouse down. Hateful little brat. Satan hates us because God loves us. And now, every time there's a human being born, rather than have God have somebody in his kingdom, Satan wants that soul destroyed in hell because he wants to go against God in any way he can. That's pretty nasty, won't you say? We don't know nastiness like that. We have a hard time comprehending something that evil that wants to see little babies sin and die in hell. Who wants to see every good man, woman, and child punished, burning for all eternity, suffering. That's pretty nasty. 537,
538,
Alex.
2 Peter 2, verse 4. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. John 8, verse 44. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth.
So the answer to the question, who is the devil? The devil is the leader of a group of angels who disobeyed God and were removed from heaven to hell. So how many do you think fell? Five? Six?
A lot of nations.
That's about the only indication that we have. At one point, when they were going to cast a serpent, a demon out of an individual, he gave his name as Legion. He said, for we are many. Legion is a lot. So we really don't know how many angels fell. Lots, evidently. All right. First article is all about how God created us, provides for us, protects us, preserves us. And he did that all in the beginning. How? What word would you use to describe us? That's creation.
Perfect.
And we sinned. Could God have just let us, just said, forget it, you're all going to hell? Would he have been just and righteous if he would have done that? Sure. You got to get that straight. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. But what did he do to provide our rescue?
Sent Jesus.
Which takes us to the second article. First, before we get there, question 132 answers that question. The first gospel promise is Genesis 3:15, passage 539. It's not the easiest one to recognize as a gospel promise. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Okay, between you, Satan, and the woman, God said, I'm going to put enmity. I'm going to have this discord, strife. Between your seed and her seed. Do you see the second one there? It's capitalized. Who does that refer to?
Jesus.
Right. Jesus. He shall bruise your head. He, Jesus, will bruise the head of the serpent. A better translation there would probably be crush. So it's a death blow. Jesus will deliver a death blow to Satan, the offspring of the serpent. But in the process, the offspring of the serpent will bruise his heel. Can you die from a bruised heel? Now, you can get the picture, though. It's a picture kind of someone stomping on the head of a serpent. Now, in the process, he got hurt. How did Jesus get hurt? Yeah, he died. But it was a temporal death. It wasn't a permanent death. Satan, on the other hand, because of what Jesus did, has to now undergo an eternal death, a permanent, all the way dead death. That's why his head was crushed, but it cost the Savior something to do it. Drew, 5:40.
1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
I'll read the next one too, if you would.
2 Timothy 1:9-10. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Okay, it's a kind of a long way to say it, but it's a revelation to us about what God did for us. And he did it, again, through Christ, by giving us Jesus Christ, determining to do that before time began, which is really strange. I mean, you ask, why didn't God make it so that we had to obey? He made us knowing that we would sin, and knowing before time even began that he would have to send his son Jesus to pay for our sins. So you'd think God would just say, forget it. I'm not going to do that. But he didn't, for whatever reason. Last one, Andrew? Or Alex, read one more, will you? Ephesians 4:24.
Okay. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness.
What was God's other option if he wanted righteous followers? He made all this creation, and then Adam and Eve, the devil rebelled, and Adam and Eve sinned. What else could God have done other than send a Savior to forgive our sins?
He just did everything and things all went out.
Okay. That was the second option. Could have done nothing. He could have just let mankind reproduce, have millions and billions, and kill ourselves off, and in the end we die and we go to hell. What would be a third option? Use your imagination. What do you do if you're making clay sculptures out of something and you just don't like what's the way it's going?
Just like get rid of this all.
Think about that. God could have, with a word, had everything gone and started again. Why didn't he do that?
So,
don't know. Dude, it's all right to admit that we don't know why God doesn't do some things. So why, oh boy, you know, he could have just started over. I wonder why he didn't. I don't know, but he didn't. He still know that I am God, the Bible says. Yes, sir.
Doesn't the Bible also say that God loves us? Some passages.
True.
So then, wouldn't that mean that he wouldn't just by himself?
That's true. He can... He knew us from eternity. He knew that we would be born. Which is really strange if you think about it. It's hard to even wrap your mind around or get a handle on the idea that God knew before we were born, before anything happened, he knows it. So he knows us and picked us to go to heaven even before he created Adam and Eve. Wow. The passage that you read, 5:42, the new man is what we give, the name that we give to that holy image that's been restored to us. The new man is the opposite of
the old man.
The old man or the old Adam. Which one are you born with, Susanna?
The old man.
The old man. Do you still have it after you get the new man? The old Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you still have it. But can both of them control you at the same time? No. If you sin, which one's controlling you?
The old Adam.
Old Adam, yeah. And the other one wants to walk always and only as God wants us to. So when we're doing the right thing, we put on that new man and we're doing what God wants us to do. Second article. Let's see. We didn't do that. Alex. Second article.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
What does this mean, Drew?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of his Father from eternity, and also a true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
Susanna?
He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death.
Emily?
He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns in eternity, just most certainly true.
Who is Jesus? Alexander?
Son of God.
That works. Is he also God?
Yeah.
Yep. Who's reading? Andrew, 5:43 and 5:44.
Matthew 3, verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Luke 1, verse 30 and 31. Then the angel said to Mary, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, which will call his name Jesus."
Answer at the top of page 104. Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary in time. Why do you believe that Jesus is true God? A couple of different reasons here. First one is always the same. Emily, 5:45, 6-7.
1 John 5, verse 20. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Romans 9, verse 5. Of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. 1 John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Who does John refer to as the Word there? Susanna?
Jesus.
Yeah. Now we know that if you follow along in that section and go further on, it continues on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us. So we know he's talking about Jesus, because it goes right into the Gospel of John and the account of Jesus. That's maybe the clearest, but they all give an indication, as do many other passages. 5:48, 9, and 50, Susanna.
Luke 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Matthew 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
So first of all, we believe Jesus is true God because the Bible says he is God. What denominations do you know of that deny that Jesus is a so-called Christian, but they deny that Jesus is true God? Do you know of any offhand? Anybody?
The Mormons?
I'm not sure about that. The Mormons believe he's the Son of God. I'm not sure if they believe he's true God. I think they would probably say that they do, although the Mormons have some strange ideas. Who is supposedly Jesus' brother, according to the Mormons, the other Son of God?
Devil.
Yeah, see? Go figure. No, the Jehovah's Witnesses actually deny that. They deny the divinity or deity of Christ. They deny that Jesus is also true God. They don't like passages like the John passage. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because they don't want to believe that He is God. Second reason that we believe that Jesus is true God, Acts 5:51-2.
Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Is there anything or anyone in creation other than God who you could apply that to? Anyone who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Could you apply it to another human being? No. Human beings get old, die, be resurrected with new bodies. Jesus is true God from eternity. Next one.
John 21, verse 17. Lord, you know all things.
Any man fit that description? No. We already read the next one. In the beginning was the Word. So He's eternal. Matthew 28:20, Drew, 5:54.
Well, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.
So He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere, even till the end of time. Can a human being do that? Obviously not. And the last one, 5:55, Drew.
Luke 8:25. For He commands even the winds and water, and they obey Him.
Do you know many men or women that can command the wind and the water and they obey Him? No. So this also bothers those folks that want to deny the deity of Christ. What's the difference, by the way, between deity and divinity? Deity means He is... Anybody?
Yes.
God. God. What about divinity?
Man?
Or no?
Does that mean like holy?
Yeah, divinity means He has some characteristics of God. Could something be divine and not be God? Yeah. How precious is the book divine, we say, by inspiration given in the hymn? What's the book divine?
The Bible.
The Bible, yeah. Is the Bible God? No. So something can be divine and still not be true God. That's why we say Jesus, we talk about the deity of Christ, the fact that He was true God. We believe that Jesus is true God because He has qualities that only God has and can have. Divine attributes. See, let's see, 560. Who's up? Did you read, Suzanne?
Andrew.
Where? You did?
I read last.
He's up? Mm-hmm. Andrew. 560, 61, 62.
Matthew 9, verse 6. That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then He said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. All things are made through Him. John 1, verse 3. All things are made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made. Nothing was made that was made. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, sat down at the right hand with majesty on high.
Yeah, keep going. Where's it going on?
John 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Romans 1, verse 4. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Okay, the answer here, proven by all these passages, is that we believe Jesus is true God because He did things that only God can do. Did other men perform miracles?
Not true ones.
Let's think about that. Do you know, name a man in the Bible who did a miracle?
Like the prophets, like Moses.
Moses did. Who else?
Is this one of the Old Testament?
Pardon?
Is this one of the Old Testament?
No, anywhere.
Peter?
Moses. He said, Moses. John. Paul. All these guys perform miracles, right? But by whose power did they do it? God's power. By whose power and authority did Jesus perform miracles?
God's.
Yeah, his own. He's God. He didn't have to say, okay, in the name of God the Father, I cast out, or in the name of God the Father, I forgive your sins. He says, I forgive you your sins. He says, I say to you, take up your bed and walk. He did it by his own authority and power. In fact, we hear that over and over in the New Testament. People were amazed because he spoke as one who had authority, not as one who said something that somebody else said or used somebody else's power and authority. He did it. He had it. What was one miracle? I've been trying to do this for a long time, but there's only one miracle that I can think of that Jesus did that the other apostles couldn't or didn't do. One thing that we hear about Jesus that he was able to do that the others couldn't or didn't ever.
Wasn't they like bring a demon out of somebody?
No, they did that. There was one that they couldn't do. I mean, they had trouble doing it. And then they asked Jesus and he was able to do it. But they had cast out demons. Now, there was one difficult one that he acknowledged was difficult, but there was one particular thing that every once in a while Jesus did, but you never read of any of the apostles or disciples doing it.
Healing people, maybe?
Oh, they did that. In fact, afterwards, when Peter and John were working in and around Jerusalem, they healed people all the time.
So they're eating the
5,000? We don't hear that they did that, but they did probably some similar things. We don't know that they did that, but
actual like physical miracles, that were like having to do with making, just taking some family, like real miracle they think of, like taking a book and goofing me on that.
The one that I can't find, the one I'm thinking of, is that he could read minds. We'd read every once in a while and it says, and Jesus knowing their thoughts. And yet we don't, I've never read that about a human being who wasn't true God. That Peter knew their thoughts. Now it could have been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, but you know, like Ananias was told by the Holy Spirit to go after the conversion of Saul, who became Paul, and go and talk to him. But that was a revelation that the Holy Spirit gave him, or that Jesus gave him. But Jesus was able, while he was on earth, to know what somebody was thinking. And that seems to be special for Jesus. The others didn't seem to be able to do that. All right, so we got, the Bible says Jesus is true God. He has characteristics that only God has, and he did things that only God can do. One more thing yet. 5:65 and 6. Emily?
John 5, verse 23. All men should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Revelation 5:12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to whom he, him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
So what were they doing in that passage? To Jesus. Susanna?
Praising him?
Yeah. And what's another thing that we would call what they're doing? More than just praising, they were?
Honoring.
More?
Worshipping.
Worshipping. Now, you can honor somebody here on earth, right? And it's not a sin. You're supposed to honor your father and mother. You can praise someone here. Is that a sin? No. Can you worship anyone here? Who alone are you supposed to worship?
God.
God. whom were they worshiping?
Jesus.
Jesus. And no, then they weren't condemned. It was a good thing. So Jesus must be
God.
D, we believe Jesus is true God because the Bible says we should honor Him, worship Him as God. Okay, bottom of the page 135. We establish that Jesus is true God, but as we heard in the explanation, we believe that He's not only true God, but true man. So why do we believe He's true man? Who's Susanna? 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Would that be able to settle it for us if we didn't have anything else? Yeah, because the Bible calls Him true man. Go ahead and read your verse.
Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil.
Okay, so again, we hear that very clearly. Jesus came and took part in our human flesh so that He could destroy the devil.
Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
A, again, we believe Jesus was true man because the Bible says so. Pretty easy, but there's more. Let me read this list here. We'll just follow along, beginning with 570. Luke 24:39, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. This is Jesus talking. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. He says that a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, but He does, so He must not be a spirit there. He must be true man. Luke 2:12, And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Luke 2:52, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Luke 4:2, And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward He was hungry. Can a God get hungry? No. Mark 4:38, But He was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Jesus wept. Jesus said, I thirst. And in 577, Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when He had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up His spirit. So He was hungry, He was tired, He was thirsty, He cried, He died. All these things are part of being a human being. Could God have done any of these things? Could God die? So B, we believe Jesus Christ is true man because He looked and lived like one, and many things happened to Him because He was a human being. So how did He become a human being? Andrew?
He just got sent here.
Explain how it happened. UPS?
Well, from the Virgin Mary.
Okay. So He was born of the Virgin Mary. Who was His dad? Drew?
God.
God the
Father.
Okay, and how was He conceived? Who
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah. So God the Father, His Father, but He was conceived by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. Let's see. Most of those you know very well. L 5:81.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel.
Okay, virgin woman named Mary gives birth. How could she be a virgin and still give birth to a son? The dad was the Holy Spirit. But that also tells you, don't think dirty thoughts here about the Holy Spirit, Father Jesus. She was still a virgin, meaning she'd never had marital relations with any man or with the Holy Spirit. That was a miraculous conception. It wasn't the normal order of things. 582, Drew.
Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to Mary, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Andrew, next to.
Luke 2, verse 11. But there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fulfillment of the time had come, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Okay, it's important to recognize how there was something in time that changed here. God's eternal, but at some point in time, Jesus entered time. He got a human body, and he was placed under the same rules and laws as you and I. He had to obey the commandments. He had to not steal, not commit adultery, not kill, honor his father and mother. If he had failed in that, what would have happened to Jesus?
Pardon?
Yeah, we'd have been lost, but what about Jesus?
He would have went to hell.
Isn't that strange? He's true God. How could God? I don't even want to think about it. It makes my head hurt. What do we call, last thing today, what do we call the event when Jesus got a human body? There's a word that we have. You see it in capitals, top page 107.
Incarnation.
Look at the definition there in the box. Incarnation means, Al?
Get out of your body.
Okay. Conceived, to start a human body, to become a human being, rather, to become pregnant. Usually that happens in a very medical, physical way with human beings, but not with Jesus, remember. We know that because the reason I bring that up, some movies try to make it dirty, and it wasn't. She didn't have marital relations with the Holy Spirit. He became the Father in a miraculous way. He's not limited like we are. We know that because she was still a virgin when she got married, and she'd never had marital relations with a man. Okay, any questions on that? We're going to end there for today. All right, a couple things that you need to keep doing. What are you reading? Done? Should be? Okay. Have you read which books? Now, Genesis, Exodus?
No.
Judges.
Joshua,
Judges, Ruth. Okay. First Samuel.
Does that come right after?
Right after Ruth. And we'll probably go into Second Samuel, so keep reading through there, but after that we're gonna take I have to check and see what my schedule is, and we may take a little different path. So by the end of try to get it done by the end of January, 1 Samuel. You're kind of behind because we're a week into it already, but a little over a week.
We're going to have classes later on at the end of the year.
We'll see. Okay, let's close with the prayer on page 13. Luther's evening prayer. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me today. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins, wherever I have done wrong, and graciously protect me tonight. Into your hands I entrust my body and soul and everything else. Let your holy angel be with me, that the devil may have no power over me.